most people have heard of or seen the Jerry Rescue story and monument. You might also know the Mission Restaurant downtown gave safe harbor to escaped slaves, as did other local homes. In the last part of CNY Unknown Underground, we'll fill in some interesting details. WAER's Chris Bolt reports each historic connection might have had more significance than you know.
You might have seen it on the west side of Clinton Square. It's probably the best-known monument to Syracuse's anti-slavery past, the Jerry Rescue Statue. The sculpture depicts Jerry, whose real name was William Henry, as he was being broken out of jail. At his side in the sculpture are abolitionist Reverend Samuel May and prolific Underground Railroad conductor Reverend Jermaine Logan. It's somewhat well known that the act of civil disobedience in 1851 was to flout the 1850 Fugitive Slave Law. You might not know just how significant it was or where Jerry came from. And what's shown in the tall statue is not exactly as it went down, but artist Sharon Buman has a pretty good reason for why she created it just this way.
I wanted to have them coming out of the jail, but I also wanted the relationship between the black and the white, which I selected Jermaine Logan. He was a main player, as well as Samuel May. They were all about nonviolence, and they themselves did not take part. But I said, you know, artistically, they were instrumental in making it happen. They stood on the sides to make sure everything was copacetic as it went on.
That link between black and white abolitionists was important to Buman. In the background of the sculpture, evidence of the hundreds of people that took part. And broken shackles appear on his wrist. She wanted to show the captivity, even though he probably didn't have them on when he was broken out. A star you can see at the base of the work, pointing north, south, east, and west, a symbol of justice. She says once she won the commission from a field of almost 150 artists, she sat in Clinton Square night after night trying to get a muse, the vision. Of course, her extensive research uncovered just who was William Jerry Henry.
Jerry was actually the son of a plantation owner and a mulatto house servant, I guess. So he was probably very fair-skinned. And his father had him educated right alongside his half-brothers and sisters.
He actually became a clerk for the plantation and, by some tellings, was actually not a slave by the time he made it to Syracuse.
His father passed away and his stepbrother took over, and he and Jerry didn't see eye to eye, but his father had told him, when the time comes, if you want to leave, you're free to go.
So when federal marshals and bounty hunters and the agents of angry slave owners arrested Jerry, he likely wasn't even a slave, but was being made an example. Onondaga Historical Association Director Greg Tripoli says it more than backfired, resonating through most of the other free states.
The most important thing about that event was that it was really a national level event that happened here in Syracuse that involved both black and white people. People felt was inherently unfair because of the burden that it placed on everyday people to turn in their fellow citizens. And the refusal of people in Syracuse to bow to that was really the beginning of the end of the Fugitive Slave Act.
Nevertheless, it did have its drama. Jerry was hidden at various houses around town, then rushed off to Canada, authorities hot in pursuit. And for the abolitionists themselves, it wasn't without consequences.
And the folks who took part in it were indicted and were charged, and some went to trial, and some actually went to Canada along with Jerry to flee from being prosecuted for the part that they took in the Jerry Rescue.
Sculptor Sharon Buman hopes when people visit and examine the monument, they're inspired to learn more about the story and the different people involved. Over by Columbus Circle is another of the city's fairly well-known Underground Railroad stations. Catty-corner from the fountain to the east is the former Wesleyan Methodist Church, now the Mission Restaurant. The OHA's Greg Tripoli is pretty sure this was a clandestine stopover for escaped slaves, or as they were called, freedom seekers.
When it was the first Wesleyan Church, that was a safe house where runaways were kept in the basement. The story goes is they carved their images into the walls of the basement there. You know, not uncommon for lots of folks who are captive We're out somewhere, kind of, you know, so-and-so was here. We were here.
The OHA Museum on Montgomery Street in Syracuse has a few of those carvings, more than 150 years old, saved from when the basement was renovated for the restaurant. And Tripoli says they fill in what can be murky history.
And it is believed that they are the only three-dimensional evidence of the Underground Railroad in existence. Oftentimes, you come across these homes that had a reputation, but we don't know really where or the details. The point was not to have any sort of telltale sign that someone was there. So there isn't a whole lot of hard evidence record of the Underground Railroad.
If you want to find another place where freedom-seeking blacks hold up at times, you have to drive out to Fayetteville. The Matilda Jocelyn Gage House is, of course, better known for its place in women's rights, but founder and board member Sally Rush Wagner connects the social justice causes.
In fact, if you scratched an abolitionist, you would generally find a women's rights advocate. They held their national conventions concurrently so that people could go to both. And if you listen to an anti-slavery speech, women's rights was probably brought into it, and vice versa.
Gage flouted laws in both areas, violating the Fugitive Slave Act and attempting to vote when it was illegal for women to vote, to point out injustice. Wagner says she was born into it.
The home of her parents was offered as a station on the Underground Railroad. Her father was a founder of the Liberty Party, the very first anti-slavery party, and he ran for office on the Liberty Party ticket.
It was none too popular. She notes only two homes in Fayetteville offered sanctuary at the time. The museum that's in her home now has an Underground Railroad room. It has many evocative features, names on the wall of people who escaped slavery through here, and a mat showing how Africans were packed into slave ships and brought here, which visitors are invited to lay down upon to feel what it was like. And Wagner describes a special feature that really brings home the experience.
We don't know where the freedom takers that Matilda Jocelyn Gage harbored and gave sanctuary to, we don't know where they stayed.
Research when they were forming the museum talked of hiding in plain sight, and a carpenter came up with one strategy used at the time.
Sometimes behind a bookcase. So he figured out how he could construct a bookcase, and you can open the door. It's a little trick door. You open it up, and you can go inside there, and it is scary.
Gage called harboring former slaves seeking freedom one of her proudest acts. Her risks of fines and going to jail for both abolition and women's rights came, as her daughter wrote, from her hatred of injustice and love of liberty. The Gage home is one local connection to abolition history, as are the Wesleyan Church downtown and the Jerry Rescue. Like many areas, people here know a bit about the significant local history, events, and locations. But Syracuse's role in the Underground Railroad, and by extension the abolition of slavery, carries significance greater than simply local landmarks and monuments can pay justice. And they beg further understanding. Chris Bolt, WAER News.
You can read or listen to past segments of Unknown Underground on our website, waer.org. The stories are also playing on the NPR One app.